Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, boy. This is just what we needed, all right. Another face running for president for the Democratic nomination for president for the honor of getting whacked like Frankie Boy Cali by President Trump. Yeah. Is America ready for a president named Beto?
All right, Dan.
I can't convince myself of that. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, cloudy Thursday alohas to you as we get underway. Hour number one of the Bobby Mack Electric Radio Program. Well, it's been 30 years since we had a good old-fashioned mafia rub-out in New York, so it was certainly overdue. Time to go to the mattresses again, as they say in Godfather. Great to have you along today, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and take part in the conversation today. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Number is 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307 for your text messages, and my email address, bob@1063WORD.com. Tar Heels play tonight, Moneypenny. Tar Heels playing at 7. They are playing Louisville, the Cardinals, and then at 9, the Dukies will be playing in the second game in the ACC tournament. By the way, good news for the McLean family today. Yeah. Miss Megan, our West Highland White Terrier, has been accepted to Yale. Yeah. I don't think it had anything to do with that contribution that I made to the Eli Society up there in New Haven. I'm sure she just got in of her own accord, you know. It did look a little suspicious. The proctors, I think, had some questions in mind when her ACT was signed with a paw print, but never mind. So we got a new contender. Loser. Yeah. Beto O'Rourke. Robert O'Rourke. Who spent what? North of $30 million plus? Well, that's kind of repetitive. North of $30 million to lose to Ted Cruz for a U.S. Senate seat. Thinks that he's the answer. Yeah, he is the guy America has been looking for. I don't know if he is or not. His dog, on the other hand, Artemis. I would consider voting for Artemis. Artemis is a pretty black lab that has kind of stolen the thunder from Beto's pronouncement of he's in the race. Story today in the Fort Worth Startlegram. The newspaper there is the Star-Telegram. But anybody who's ever lived in the metroplex of Dallas and Fort Worth will tell you that the newspaper is referred to as the Startlegram. Their headline, "We are all Beto's dog. How Artemis, the sad dog, stole the show from 2020 candidate." Beto O'Rourke is running a 2020 presidential campaign, but his dog has stolen the show. Yeah, because people think Artemis is one sad doggy. Yeah, and that's probably okay because even O'Rourke once admitted that Artemis is best in show. He and his kids decided that during the 2017 National Dog Show. Are they referring to Westminster? Is that what they mean? Anyway, Artemis, the four-legged friend, captured America's interest when people noticed the black dog in the Vanity Fair cover photo on O'Rourke's run for president, according to the El Paso Times. And it's a nice-looking dog, but the dog... The dog reminds me of where the expression hangdog expression came from on your face. You know, I have a hangdog expression. I think that's where that saying came from. Artemis just kind of looks down in the mouth. In the photo, Artemis is standing off to the side behind her owner, looking up with those puppy dog eyes that humans can't seem to resist. This might even come across as sad eyes based on the reaction on Twitter. We are all Beto's dog, one tweet says. Another, Beto's dog equals everyone reading this article. To describe the article in Vanity Fair about Beto O'Rourke as fawning greatly underplays the story. Somebody else tweeted, Beto's dog for president. That's not the only question people are asking. The Cut magazine asked, what is Beto's dog thinking? Artemis looks somehow mournful in every single shot she's featured in throughout the Vanity Fair spread. She's clearly thinking about something deeply haunting. But what? Probably about how far away she is from supper time, would be my guess. One America News Network host, Jack Posobiec, took to Twitter to ask, why does Beto's dog look so miserable in every photo? David Wright with the Clinton News Network said, why is Beto's dog so mournful? People have their theories on why Artemis comes across as a sad dog. One person wrote, Beto's dog is so over this already. Rolling Stone writer tweeted, Beto's dog has seen some... blank. S word. Nathan McDermott with CNN. Beto O'Rourke may have the most introspective looking dog ever. One thing we learned from that Vanity Fair profile is that Beto's dog Artemis is just a dog version of himself. Oh, jeez. And maybe this one. Beto's dog looks like he's not sure how to tell him he's voting for Biden. Yeah, or maybe he's voting for Trump. Somebody else tweeted, I feel so bad for Beto's dog. Poor dog does look, well, hangdog, as I said. This Vanity Fair profile being mocked. And bear in mind, a bunch of those tweets you just heard about Artemis, Beto's dog, are from people on the left. Rolling Stone magazine, CNN, all that stuff. They think that Beto is not woke enough. Oh, wait a minute. Beto is a white man. There you go. Kiss of death, right? For the Democrats, you know, they keep talking about, you know, diversity. They don't want any diversity that includes white guys, I guess. And yet, you look at the polling data. Who are the two leaders for the Democrat nomination? Stand Up Chuck plugs Biden. And Crazy Bernie, who is coming here to South Carolina again. He's going to do a big campaign in South Carolina. He needs to. The last primary, Hillary. Yeah, Felonious Von Pantsuit beat him by 47 points in the last Democrat presidential primary 4 years ago, or going on 4 years ago. Wow. So the two leaders of the new Democrat Socialist Party, as far as their voters are concerned, apparently, is a couple of old white guys. And Bernie was quoted as saying in advance of one of his trips down here, he's coming to Columbia or somewhere, maybe over the weekend. I said, sooner than you think, South Carolina will be a progressive state.
Oh, you can't make that stuff up.
Bernie, why don't you head up to Dark Corner and sell that stuff up there and see how well it plays, all right? Get back to me on that, will you? 16 after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Great to have you along the Thursday edition, 20 minutes after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Let me see if I can catch up with the text line before I get in arrears on that one. I don't know, Bobby. Bernie may have something for South Carolina. We can't even get open carry out of the good old boy network. Yeah, but, you know, if you got Bernie in there, you won't have to worry about open carry. There'll be no carry. There'll be no guns. Bob, the nickname for Robert in Ireland is Bert. If Beto becomes Bernie's VP pick, that would be Bert and Bernie.
Excellent.
Couple of dumb puppets. How appropriate. Bob, let Bernie come on down to Pickens. We'll take him out to the flea market. He'll get an earful of Democrat socialism. That's for darn sure. Bobby, Beto's dog is so mournful because if Beto's policies get into place, the dog will be food, not the one being fed. Gotcha. Bobby, did you say that Beto blew more than $30 million in losing to Ted Cruz? Yes. Where did that fool get that much money? Hollywood. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Hollywood. Bobby, if the idiots in this country were ready for a president named Barack Hussein Obama in the middle of a war on terror, I would say the vast majority of the morons would be for this goofball named Beto. I don't put a damn thing past him. Bobby, I think Clyde would be a better candidate than Beto. Ah, get it? Yeah, right. As in, right turn, Clyde. play that funky music, white boy. That's right. I called you white. It's okay. Bobby, about Beto, I fear our country as a whole suffers from permanent rectal cranial inversion. It's a widespread malady. Bobby, yeah, chalk up another one for the Democrat Circus of the Stars. I got it. Bobby, if we can get Rachel Dolezal to enter the race, we'll have a fake Hispanic, a fake Native American Indian, and a fake African American all running for president as Democrats. Perfect. And don't forget this one. Yeah, another texter says, Bob, is America ready for a president whose last name is Castro? Yeah. Guy that was in Obama's administration, some minor cabinet position, something or other. So, this fawning profile in Vanity Fair. But, look, who reads Vanity Fair? Except the same navel-gazing bunch of elitists. Beto O'Rourke is officially in the 2020 presidential race, but early polling suggests his Vanity Fair profile isn't going over well. O'Rourke, who announced to his supporters this morning he was tossing his hat in the ring for the Democrat nomination, was the star of a fawning 8,600-word opus. Wow. Published by the prestigious magazine on Wednesday. What's prestigious about Vanity Fair? The wide-ranging interview is the cover story of the latest edition of the mag, or the rag, with a 46-year-old boldly declaring he was just born to do this. Yeah, yeah, he was born to be president. He's modest, too. The Vanity Fair piece, written by Joe Hagan, seemed to echo the fawning tone of much of the media coverage that followed his failed bid to unseat Texas GOP Senator Ted Cruz last fall. Hagan, who previously wrote a similarly photographed and written profile of another Democrat, former presidential candidate John Edwards. You remember him, the Breck girl. Got his mistress pregnant while his wife was dying of cancer. Hagan wrote in the piece, "For O'Rourke, what followed was a near mystical experience," referring to his entry into politics. Some of the other parts of the profile include the writer speaking to some of O'Rourke's ex-girlfriends and one glowing piece of prose describing the Democrat as an endurance athlete campaigner. Former girlfriends describe O'Rourke as curious, wry, bookish, but adventurous. He usually carried a novel in his pocket. Yeah, right. Portnoy's complaint. Whether Captain Corelli's Mandolin or The Sun Also Rises. Tweeter said, "My sense is that Beto O'Rourke doesn't want to be president as much as he wants to be an indie movie about a guy running for president." Somebody else tweeted, "Like all scrappy, salt-of-the-earth, organic campaigns with their pulse on the base, Beto's is launched with a Vanity Fair cover spread." Sarcasm fully on there. Neon Taster tweeted, "The Vanity Fair profile of Beto makes him sound like if he were born 40 years earlier, he'd be barefoot on a beach, surrounded by a group of hippie devotees looking like Chris Hemsworth in Bad Times at the El Royale." Jeez, this is not good, folks. Maggie Ashfahani, an El Paso native who dated O'Rourke while he was at prep school and college. He went to prep school, too? Check the elitist education box for Beto. Said he was somewhat difficult to know. That's kind of the mystique of Beto, is that he seems to be accessible, but there's just this layer of protection. I don't think it's because he's hiding anything. I think it's because he's keeping a part of it to himself. He's deep. Don't you know? He's deep. Actually, he's like a box turtle. He's got a shell and he doesn't let anybody in. Reaction to the piece was divided, with some celebrating the detailed look at the Democrat darling while others mocked it. And I read you some of the tweets. Here's another. I guess Vanity Fair cover boy is Beto's unique fame, rather, but not sure the people are looking for that, Reather said. Chicago Tribune columnist Rex Hupke added, "My sense is that Beto O'Rourke, wants to be a star of an independent movie." What is this one from? His wife, Amy, was with him. "Amy and I are happy to share with you that I'm running to serve you as the next president of the United States of America. This is a defining moment of truth for the country and for every single one of us. The challenges we face right now, the inner climate change." Yeah, you knew that was coming. Right. "Have never been greater." Republicans scoffed at his campaign launch. RNC spokesman Michael Ahrens saying in a statement, "It's telling that the Democrats' biggest star is someone whose biggest accomplishment is recently losing. Beto O'Rourke failed to get anything done in Congress, and with extreme policies like government-run health care and tearing down border barriers, his 2020 bid won't be successful either. The congressman from El Paso grabbed national attention last summer and autumn as he challenged Ted Cruz in the 2018 midterm elections." Did I say 30 million? Boy, did I underplay the number. O'Rourke raked in an eye-popping $80 million during his campaign, thanks in part to his uplifting message and his mastery of social media. What a crock of horse hockey that is. Somebody at Fox News wrote that paragraph? How about because of the fact that the liberal loonies in Hollywood all ponied up big dough? And Tom Steyer, the other wacko lefty billionaire, and probably Soros tossed in some money as well. O'Rourke narrowly lost to Cruz by just more than 200,000 votes out of more than 8 million cast. That doesn't even sound like a Fox News story. It sounds like an apology, you know. Well, he lost, but boy, he put up a valiant fight. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, thanks a lot. 3:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on Thursday. Oh, yeah, it's always fun to fight it. Crosstown traffic.
Rock on, brother.
Thank you. That's what we do. 4 hours each day, Monday through Friday, slaving away over a hot microphone and computer terminal. Yours truly, the attack dog of the right. Accompanied, of course. Well, it's Bob and the Bobettes. Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, pushing the buttons, screening the callers, making sure the trains run on time, and, of course, Little Annie in the news center with breaking news.
Rock on. Rock on, brother.
You said that. Thank you.
Sounds like a fun crew.
It is a fun crew. It is a fun crew, and you are a part of it. So, all of these geniuses in the Republican Party in the Senate doing everything they can once again to derail the Trump train. These people, I guess, they're all constitutional lawyers. But they know more about the Constitution, apparently, than I do, or other experts, like, say, Alan Dershowitz. Does he know a little bit about the Constitution, you think? Who contend, as I do, the president is not writing new law, which constitutionally is the job of Congress. The president is merely moving money from one pocket to another. Money that this same Congress has already approved to be spent. These excuses strike me as feeble. Senate Republicans joined their Democrat colleagues today in voting to block President Trump's border emergency declaration, a move that will prompt the president's first ever veto. The president made his intentions crystal clear, tweeting "veto" in caps, exclamation point, moments after the resolution cleared Congress. 59-41, as a dozen Republicans. Can we get their names? I know that Rand Paul is one. What's his name? Lamar Alexander, the twit from Tennessee. Flit Romney. That's staunch conservative. Dozen Republicans joined the Democrats in voting for the resolution. Don't you know they were standing up for the Constitution? No, they weren't. Despite White House efforts to keep the GOP united on the issue of border security. You know, if they can't be united on an issue like this, what can they possibly be united on? But these dozen Republicans are not really Republicans. They are part and parcel of the Uniparty. And President Trump has come into the temple and he's upsetting the tables of the money changers, and they don't like it. Those GOP members who backed the resolution cited concerns about the expansion of presidential powers. God. I'm going to be voting in favor of the resolution of disapproval, said Mitt Romney, Rhino of Utah, telling reporters ahead of the vote, this is a constitutional question. It's a question of the balance of power that is core to our Constitution. No, it's not. I'll tell you what is a threat to the Constitution. That's President Trump's predecessor going around for a couple of years and saying, you know, I'd like to be able to declare amnesty for a bunch of these illegals who are here, but I can't do it because it's unconstitutional. And then what's he do? Right. He comes up with DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which is an excess of his constitutional authority, not taking already congressionally approved money and moving it from one pocket to another. And I hear these arguments. Well, what if we get a Democrat president in there And he decides that he's going to come up with a national emergency declaration to take away everybody's guns. You can't do that. It's unconstitutional. Romney, this is not about the president or border security. In fact, I support border security. I support a barrier. Well, your vote certainly doesn't show it. Okay, here's the rogues gallery of so-called Republicans who voted to oppose the president using this money for the border wall. Mike Lee of Utah, Rob Portman of Ohio, he's another wacko lefty, Susan Collins of Maine, she's another rhino, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Rubio of Florida, good work, Marco, Rand Paul of Kentucky. I'm sorry, but just too libertarian for our taste. Rand, can't you just follow the Constitution instead of claiming a constitutional basis for this vote? Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, he's another twit. Roger Wicker of Mississippi, Roy Blunt of Missouri, Jerry Moran of Kansas, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. Tom Tillis of North Carolina had said he would oppose the declaration, but reversed course on the floor of the Senate, saying he was sympathetic to the president's push to deal with the crisis at the border. What do you know? Somebody who actually makes sense. Senate Minority Leader Chuck U. Schumer, commie of New York, before the vote said he takes his hat off to Republicans voting with Democrats. There you go, guys. Nice work. You did Schumer's work for him. Lindsey didn't join him. Tim Scott didn't join him. His office releasing this statement. Today's vote in the Senate to disapprove the president's declaration of a national emergency is unfortunate. We are a compassionate nation, but we are also a nation that abides by and values the rule of law. At the current pace, we are on track to encounter close to 1 million illegal aliens at the border this year. That's a national emergency in my book. As for me, I'm with the president. Kudos to you, Senator Scott, of whom I've been critical in the past on occasion. But on this one, he's absolutely right. And look at Lindsey surprising us. You know, he does this every so often. In on the text line, Bob, you can't sugarcoat your thoughts on the rhinos. Yeah, no kidding. Bobby, Tillis is not sympathetic to anything. It's just that me and everybody else I know raise hell with him and got him to change course. Good. Good for you. That's, you know, turn the heat up on these commies. How does a congressman stand on television stating that they're voting against President Trump due to separation of powers? It's more than ignorant. And members of Trump's own party? I'm sure their chests are swelling with pride that they did Schumer's job for him today. Good work, guys and gals. 4:15. Be right back. Boy, this college admissions scandal is a story that really has generated some legs. I guess the guy who's happiest about this is Jussie Smollett in Chicago. He pleaded not guilty today, by the way, to 16 counts of making up the whole deal about the racist attack on him. Some interesting stuff has surfaced in the wake of this. What's her name, Moneypenny? Laurie Loughlin? What is it, Loughlin? Yeah. She was doing an interview. Where was this? Well, it doesn't say, but she was doing an interview in 2017, and she was talking about not pushing her kids in school. Well, she didn't have to. She paid the way to get him in. Here's what she had to say.
You know what I don't ever do? I never push my kids to. I always say do the best you can.
Yeah.
I was never that kid. My husband too. Their dad never. Mm-hmm. We were never like at school. You got to get straight A's. We were never those parents. We were always like, you know what? give it your all. Do the best you can. Because in life, if you give it your all and you do the best you can, that's it.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Sure.
And that's enough, in my opinion. Especially with kids. I think we put so much pressure and stress on them. A lot of it is unnecessary.
Yeah. And besides, you know, when your daughter is out on a yacht with a member of the Board of Trustees of Southern Cal, you don't have to worry about it because the fix is in. Yeah. The Bobby Mack semi-professional players deal with this issue in their own inimitable style.
The high school reunion is coming up. Are you ready to impress?
Oh. Yo, I like got a degree from Harvard and Yale.
Both? Wow, that's really impressive.
Uh-huh.
Considering you were voted most likely to mistake sidewalk chalk for candy.
Yeah, I know. But my mom and dad like made some bribes. Really sweet. Go Ivy Leagues, right?
Right.
Right.
I miss having a locker.
SAT scores and academic requirements are irrelevant. We're the Huffman Laughlin Group. We gather special financing. Talk to the right people and make deals. Contact us now and get your kid into the school of your choice.
Cool.
It's easy. We're Huffman Laughlin, where different rules apply, so you don't have to apply.
I went to Harvard. Hey, why does my drink come with cheese? Dude, it's a napkin. My bad.
That's okay.
Don't!
In the wake of this, some of the blowback. The University of Southern California, Yale University, and several other elite colleges are being sued by two Stanford University students who claim they were denied a fair opportunity for admission and have had their degrees devalued due to the college cheating scheme revealed by federal officials Tuesday. Erica Olson and Kalia Woods filed a class action lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California yesterday, a day after federal authorities said they uncovered one of the largest college admission scams ever to hit the U.S. The lawsuit seeks $5 million and $1 damages on behalf of what the lawyers estimate will be thousands of plaintiffs who fit the criteria to come under the umbrella of the class action status. University of San Diego, the University of Texas at Austin, Wake Forest, Georgetown, Stanford, Yale, and USC, along with William Rick Singer, called the ringleader of the admission scheme, were also named as defendants in the lawsuit. Students said they weren't given a fair opportunity to be accepted into the elite colleges where they applied. Because some people were allegedly admitted based on fake athletic profiles and distorted SAT and ACT scores obtained through bribes. Singer would obtain college acceptance letters for his students' children, for his clients' children, I should say, by either helping them cheat on entrance exams or pretend they were being recruited as an athlete in a minor school sport. The 58-year-old Singer, who ran the for-profit college prep business Edge College and Career Network, also known as The Key, and the charity Key Worldwide Foundation, pitched it to parents as the side door method to get into colleges. That's a diplomatic way of describing it. Each of the universities were negligent in failing to maintain adequate protocols and security measures in place to guarantee the sanctity of the college admissions process. What sanctity of the college admissions process? Does anybody think none of this stuff ever went on before this? Look at some of the names on some of the buildings, on some of the campuses, and then see, you know, whose kids got in as legacies. And to ensure their own employees were not engaged in these type of bribery schemes, the suit added, unqualified students found their way into admission rolls of highly selective universities, while those students who played by the rules and did not have college bribing parents were denied admission. Olson said if she knew Yale University's admission system was warped and rigged by fraud, she would have never spent money to apply to the school. She was never informed that the process of admission was an unfair, rigged system in which rich parents could buy their way into the university through bribery. The two ultimately attended Stanford, another elitist school. So obviously they didn't suffer some major deprivation. I mean, they didn't end up at community college instead. Stanford also admitted students who allegedly gained acceptance letters through Singer's side door method. You just knew there were some ambulance chasers out there. And once this story broke, the hogs started heading for the trough to be able to feed. In on the text line, as a visiting Alaskan, Bobby, I apologize for Lisa Murkowski. We made a mistake, but we'll fix it next election cycle. I hear you. Hour number one is zipped on past. We had several guests coming up today. After the news at 4, got a special guest who I think you'll be interested in hearing what he has to say about speaking of universities and what they're up to. Be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.